Welcome back to Alphabet Scoop. This is episode 008 of the Alphabet Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Hall, and this, as mentioned many times before, is a podcast from the team at 9to5google.com, as confusing as that might be, where we cover everything that's happening in Google from A to Z. And so thanks a lot for joining us. This is my colleague, Abner Lee. How are you doing, man?
Hi, thanks all for joining us live. This is the first time we're doing it, and personally, it is frightening.
Yeah, it's a bit scary, but I will say it's our first time, so we have an out. If we mess up, we can just say it's because it's our first time, and it's because we don't know what we're doing. But this is the ninth time we've done Alphabet Scoop, so we're going on 10 hours of recording of this. So thank you for everyone that has shown us your support so far. Today we have a very special show. This is our Google I/O 2018 prediction show, because Abner and I will both be hopping on planes early next week to head off to Google's annual developers conference in Mountain View, right?
Yep. That where most of us are getting there on Monday in time for Tuesday's big show.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's gonna be yet another year of just checking
pure
out everything.
3 days of madness.
Yes, Google whimsy is as you like to call it, yeah, just all of the announcements that Google has for us during the keynote, and all the little stuff we'll be able to dig out through the developer events throughout the week.
Sessions,
and yeah, all the sessions. There's gonna be a lot happening.
So much demo.
Just for a quick preview for those who are kind of completely out of the loop on what's happening next week. Basically, from a higher level, you know, perspective, we're expecting announcements across the board, pretty much all of Google's products. We've talked a lot about how Google is kind of separating I/O and its hardware event in the fall as kind of software and hardware in a way. And appropriately, I/O is a developer conference, and so Google is primarily focusing on software. The big main event for probably most people is going to be Android P. Although I will say that Android is not as important at I/O as it used to be, because yeah. Google releases the first developer preview months in advance now. So next week, we're expected to see Developer Preview 2, which we really don't know what it's going to bring. But if we look at previous years, we know it will probably be a bigger update than Developer Preview 3, 4, et cetera. But it's obviously not going to pack as much new stuff as Developer Preview 1. So what do you think we're going to see with Developer Preview 2, Abner?
So what we definitely know about DP2 is that it's a beta status, beta level. And according to Google, back in March, this release is entering the Android beta program. So you should be able to sign up for the program and get the OTA in a few hours or even minutes. So that is what's happening. It should be slightly more stable, that it's good enough for some day-to-day usage. So a lot of what we've reported in recent weeks is that one of the most major things is something called gesture navigation. It's this, which you had the scoop, which basically shows that Android is ditching the three nav buttons, the three traditional nav buttons, for mostly just one new pill-shaped white button in the middle that has gestures to activate multitasking. And occasionally, there will be a back button on the left side when it's appropriate in the UI.
Yeah, I mean, I think we first mentioned this. We were the very first people to mention it on Alphabet Scoop, one of the earlier episodes, one or two, I'm not sure. And then Google itself, as some of you may remember, accidentally leaked a screenshot on one of its blogs, showing off this new pill home button that we had previously described. Most recently, I worked with one of our new concept artists to put together some screenshots of what this would look like for those of you that have been tuning into Alphabet Scoop for the last few weeks, we've talked about this. I don't know. It feels like we've talked about it a dozen times. So it feels like we're totally rehashing stuff we've already talked about many times. But long story short, yeah, it does look like Android is moving toward gesture navigation, which we've seen in other devices before. But most recently popularized by, obviously, the iPhone X has to get some credit for popularizing it and pushing it out to the mass market, just like the notch situation. I would say, I don't know. In terms of whether or not it's going to come at I.O., I'm not sure if this is a developer preview 2 thing. I'm kind of on the fence. It feels like it could be a developer preview 2 thing, and it could be a universal Android thing that Google is going to show off and basically say to the whole world, you know, next week, like, Android's going to gesture nav, and so all the OEMs just have to get on board with that. Or I could also see this being something that they try out for a year with the Pixel, maybe, or maybe debut later this year. Although the problem with that would be kind of the disparity app between support. Yeah, exactly, app support. yeah app support and how it would work with, you know, apps working with the Pixel versus other phones. Google would want that to be unified. So there are arguments for both sides.
And there's too much fragmentation being introduced there. So I think, if anything, it will be Google needs to make a case for this. And I think I.O. is the perfect space to announce why they are switching to gestural navigation to lay out the case. And in a similar vein, I think that's when they'll start explaining the new design guidelines, if we're ready to talk about that.
Yeah, we can get to that in a second. I just also wanted to say that, you know, it's something that, you know, part of me thinks that, yeah, it makes sense to launch it at I.O. for the reasons that we just described. But also, Google is known for kind of trying out some early or new features on the Pixel before other devices. But the other possibility that I don't know if we've mentioned a lot, or maybe we haven't mentioned it enough, is that maybe this isn't ready yet. It's very well possible that this feature is just in internal testing. Although the fact that it did show up in a screenshot on the developer blog would suggest that it's not just Skunkworks and that it might be wider, but it's possible that Google might decide this isn't ready yet. It might make them look a little bit behind the times, because I really do, this is so debatable and many people are telling me I'm wrong, but I do think that gesture nav is the way things are going. And I think that it's just objectively better in pretty much every way. That's a controversial topic. And a lot of people will yell at me and tell me they love their little square button. But yeah, I mean, I'm just leaving open that possibility that it's not ready and that maybe Google won't touch on it at all. Other things though, for Android P, before we get to Material Design 2 and the other visual stuff, slices. So you've been doing APK Insight with Dylan on this. What's your take on slices?
So slices was this thing we saw in Android P and most recently in a Google app beta, I believe, a week ago. It's basically allowing apps to display their information, third-party apps to possibly display their information in something like Google Search or more likely Google Assistant. So this is a greater level of integration for apps with Assistant, which definitely needs to be a thing right now because for the most part, app developers need to make actions, and that is still another step that doesn't really help increase the adoption of Assistant. So the idea if you're able to display like snippets of info, so let's say you search something or you ask Assistant something, and like a dedicated app, let's say a movie app, can display details and posters and just basic information and showtimes directly from an app that you trust or that you like over Google Search. So that is an idea of what slices could be. And again, something like I.O. is a fitting time to announce it, given that the push is obviously Assistant.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is, of all the things that we have on our list, this is one of those things that seems more for certain that we're going to see this at I/O, because it is so, it's so obvious that Google's taking it seriously and working on it. And it's so obvious that this is something that developers really need to be clued in on. You know, I think that the use case is really interesting, that currently Google Assistant is a little bit limited, and this would basically let third-party apps kind of tie directly into the actual assist interface you're using. So you could, you know, for instance, like book an Uber or something through Assistant, and you might actually get a little snippet from the actual Uber app pop up in the Assistant window. At least that's how I interpret it. You know, there's also plenty of implications for, you know, what it would look like for flight tickets or whatever other app might want to take advantage of it. It's endless opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I think it's one area that Google could definitely improve Assistant. And I think it's something that is for sure going to be seen next week.
And the one upside, just to add one more thing about Slices. The apps, Slices and Android apps are inherently visual, in contrast to how Assistant is very voice heavy launching on smart speakers. So this Slices initiative, this concept, could definitely help boost the vision, Assistant's visual aspects, because right now on phones, it's very boring, it's very generic, and adding designs from third parties could help to the mix.
Yeah, for sure. Other things for Android P, I just wanted to touch on Avocado, because I just think it's so funny. We've been doing APK insights, APK teardowns for over a year now, and it's just so funny when we run into little features here and there. We have another one we're going to talk about later down in the show. That Google is, they're like well aware that people are doing APK teardowns. And so they kind of obfuscate some things to like hide them from public view, because they know that if they don't, they're going to get out. One of those things is in, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Google Assistant settings in the Google app. And it's called Avocado, and it has a calendar icon, right?
Yeah, it appears just under the services list, which is increasingly growing. And just today in version 8.2 of the Google app, we spotted that you'll soon be able to pick your own notes and list app. But yeah, this mysterious Avocado appears definitely different from that.
Yeah, we don't really know what it is. We just know that it's associated currently with a calendar icon. So who knows? Other things, Area 120's Reply has teased possible smart actions toolbar for Android P notifications. I think you wrote that story, right?
Yeah, it's so Reply, the basic concept is to add smart reply to any messaging app so that the developers don't have to be the one that builds it in. But the thing with Android P is that it allows developers to add their own smart replies to notifications. So the existence of Reply in the first place is getting questionable when it's getting integrated into the system directory. So we saw this screenshot from the official Google Play Store listing that appears to be published a bit early, that shows what is clearly an Android P notification because of the rounded corners and a new style, but with this really cool smart actions toolbar just underneath it. It definitely appears like something that Reply can add to the system level. And what we were able to see was to get reminders about a message at work or at home, or you can generally add the body of the message as a general reminder. There's also a forwarding option, and there's a last thing is the ability to snooze it and get it later. So it's unclear. Again, we don't know because we only have this one screenshot to work with, but it definitely seems that this is a reply feature versus so far a system level feature. But it makes sense for Reply in that it needs to justify its existence with the upcoming Android P release. But this is interesting and smart and useful.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that we were talking about this week, is that I don't think there's any other apps on the App Store that that really take advantage of the ability to do this kind of thing, you know, like integrating so closely with notifications.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that Area 120 was the first one to do it. For those who aren't aware, Area 120 is kind of this internal
incubator
in Google that works on a lot of different ideas. And basically the bigger goal with Area 120 is for these ideas, if they're successful. As a side note, we heard about another Area 120 project this week, which is a social game that's being headed up by an ex-Facebook kid, kid as in younger than me, kid, and I'm pretty dang young.
Yeah, 21 years old.
Yeah,
and
21.
A Google product manager already.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Area 120 is basically, you know, an incubator working on projects that are eventually, hopefully, either going to be incorporated into Google products directly or just tossed out. And so I think with the continued development of Reply, it looks like Google's starting to take it a little seriously, and maybe we're told that Google's already considering integrating all the features of Reply into a future Android release, maybe a 8.8 or 9.1 or Android Q or something. Yeah, the future, some point. So that'll be interesting to see, just to see how Reply continues to evolve. And maybe we'll see Google announce some of those leaked features at I.O. It seems pretty likely, if that screenshot accidentally went up, that this is something that Google's planning to talk about next week.
Yeah.
Next up, we have the Google Assistant, which is, as everyone knows, pretty much the centerpiece of Google's focus, it seems like. I mean, it seems like Google Assistant might have more like focus and screen time as then Android might even this I/O. It's kind of felt that way the last few years in some ways, because, you know, with artificial intelligence and machine learning being kind of Google's vision for the future.
Not only that, but Assistant, from a philosophical standpoint, Assistant is the company's future because it is the thing that comes after search. It is a natural extension of search. And that is the bread and butter of Google, and they need to lock it in. So just this week, we saw that Google is getting really serious about Assistant just before I/O. So they launched this new investment fund for startups working on Assistant apps and hardware. They published this conversation design guidelines, which is basically like the material design guidelines for creating voice-only apps. And they also announced that there's now 5,000 different smart home devices from every major brand in the US that supports Assistant. So this is a big push. And even before I/O, they're making it year-round because we already saw the push at I/O, we already saw the push at MWC, and this is the future, and they want to get it right. But on the consumer news, we saw Google Assistant on Wear OS gain smart suggestions, which is actually already on like phones, because there's the carousel of suggestions at the bottom of every Assistant window. There's audio replies, which fits on like a wearable, because why would you want to read text on such a tiny screen? And lastly, we're getting broader action support on Google Assistant for Wear OS. So that is the Assistant front, and who knows what they're announcing at I/O at the main keynote, because they did announce a bunch of stuff already leading into I/O.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's really interesting because, you know, we've been talking about this week, and we talked about it before the show. And that is that, you know, Google is seemingly announcing a lot of stuff in the weeks kind of this week and even last week that, you know, we might have thought would have been announced at I/O at the keynote. Obviously, you just mentioned Google Assistant on Wear OS. That's one of those things. It feels like it might have been
the keynote.
Yeah, definitely. So Another thing, LG at its LG G7, I don't think you mentioned this yet.
Nope.
At the LG G7 event, for the LG G7 Thin Q, I hate calling it that. I hate that. I just hate that brand so much.
Priceless.
I hope LG hears me say that, because I really want them to ditch this really bad idea. LG teased that is kind of, you know, under the radar, that LG teased new Google Lens features, supposedly that Google is set to announce at I/O.
Yeah. In addition to that, there's this LG G7 ThinQ has a physical assistant button, which is something we saw in an earlier APK Insight, which was what we originally thought was for phones. And in fact, this button was for phones, a physical Google Assistant button. So press and hold allows you to talk, and I believe double tapping it again opens the Google Lens directory. So this is in my opinion, it's pretty useful, and it's a perfect complement to the Pixel 2 squeeze feature, and it's a bit more normal and could be integrated by other makers. But I think the general consensus on everybody is, because after Bixby, is that button should be user customizable and it shouldn't be locked in, no matter how much better of a use case Google Assistant is.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, if they're going to have a button on the side, that users should be able to choose which AI or whichever service they want to assign to it. I mean, I think especially in the case of Bixby, I mean, it's not even a question of whether or not whether Assistant's better than Bixby. And so it's kind of annoying that Samsung users have pretty much been locked in to the inferior AI.
And that Samsung's actively fighting the users, trying to change it to map it to another app or use. That's the thing.
Speaking of squeeze versus button, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the Pixel 2's squeeze feature? You think that's sticking around for the long haul?
I don't like it. There is a 0% chance of me grabbing my phone and not activating it, even on like a moderately firm squeeze. I've honestly shut it off. I know you love it.
Well, I just keep it on. I keep it on, like, I think one of the highest settings for sensitivity. So it's like, or the lowest, whatever. It's whatever the hardest setting is for to accidentally enable it. And I found that it's my favorite. It's one of my favorite features of the Pixel 2. And it feels like, I was surprised, you know, because whenever it was leaked, I don't know, a month or two or whatever before the Pixel 2 was announced, I was really disappointed to hear that it seemed like Google was doing something so gimmicky. But I'm definitely on the side that says this actually turned out to be really useful, and I think it's a really thoughtful feature, and it's not as much as a gimmick to me as it is for some people. I actually use it almost every day. It's kind of my go-to. You know, it's just like if I were in the kitchen or whatever and said hot word to set a timer or whatever, I can do that on my phone just by squeezing, and I don't even have to unlock. And if it does need to unlock to do whatever Assistant's doing, I can just tap my finger on the side. So it just, I don't know. I just really like it. And it just makes it easier to access and use the Assistant for me. It just feels really natural. And I haven't had much of that problem of accidentally enabling it. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there is, I would definitely be closer to the Pixel when the Pixel 3 launches. It would be definitely interesting to poll users, our readers, on whether they like the feature or not.
But yeah, for sure.
That is months away.
It'll also be interesting to see if Google sticks with it for Pixel 3, because I'm sure they're already collecting usage data for sure, you know, on how much people are actually squeezing their phones. I think they might be surprised to find out how much people are, in my opinion. I think it's just one of those things. I would compare it to that satisfying feeling that you get from using 3D touch on an iPhone, you know, like that just really satisfying feedback. And so I find myself squeezing my Pixel 2 sometimes as kind of like a stress ball, because getting that feedback is just I just really like it. On another topic, completely another topic, let's talk a bit about Material Design 2, which, you know, we've gone on and on and on about, is it going to be called Material Design 2? Is Google going to announce it at I/O? What even is it? I mean, we talked about this on last week's Alphabet Scoop. I think I did a rundown on just trying to summarize what Material Design 2 actually is. And basically the TLDR is lots of white space. Obviously we've seen that everywhere. I mean, Google Tasks is probably the primary example. It's literally just white with Google Sans text. And then, you know, we've seen a lot more bright colors. I mean, in the case of the Google Tasks app, the Google I/O 2018 app, you know, the bright blue that's on the bottom that actually covers the nav bar, just not as much color throughout as we've seen in older traditional versions of Material Design, but the colors that are there are brighter, stand out more, and they're used kind of as highlights.
Highlights.
And then on the font side of things, we've talked about Google Sans, which is Product Sans. If you're not familiar, Product Sans is the font that Google uses for its logo and all the logos of all of its products, basically, at this point. And Google Sans is the name of the font that it's been using on the web and in its apps, which is, as far as we can tell, I haven't done the pixel by pixel comparison yet. I'm planning to do that because I'm an obsessive freak. But it is the same font, it seems to be, as Product Sans. And then finally, we're seeing lots of rounded designs everywhere. Lots of just cards that are rounded, menus that have like rounded highlights, lots of rounded stuff everywhere. And all of this comes together to kind of define what we're calling Material Design 2 and what we've seen, I think, in some Chromium commits. Googlers have actually called MD2 or Material Design 2. To us, it seems like this is just a term that Google's using or Googlers are using to refer to this new Material Design language. And long story short, I don't think they're going to call it Material Design 2 at I/O next week. I think it's just going to be, this is the new Material Design. Here's a cool, reel showing you everything, all the new apps, all what this would look like across our products. And then we're just going to keep seeing what we've been seeing for the last month or two, is that Chrome and, Android apps, all of Google's apps, everything's just going to slowly become adopting these new guidelines. But speaking of guidelines, I think that is what we will see at I/O. I think Google will formalize the developer side of this, which is, the Material Design guidelines that are updated to tell developers, yeah, using white space is a good thing. Using Google Sans, I don't know if that's, I'm not sure on that one. Google Sans is an interesting one because I'm not sure if Google's going to keep it proprietary to themselves or if they're going to open it up. I've talked to some designers and I've kind of not gotten clear answers on what they think on that. But yeah, just the rounded menus. I think all of that is all going to come to the design guidelines. And we're going to see it pop up across, some third-party apps maybe. Who knows? I don't know. It's up in the air. But we do know that some aspects like bottom app bar, for instance, which is basically, Google starting to promote, hey, it's a good idea to put the menu bars on the bottom of the app because these phones are freaking tall now. And so it's better to let people actually be able to reach these things. That was introduced alongside Android P. So, that's another hint that this is something that Google's really pushing forward. What do you think of the new look?
One of the most exciting things going to I/O is to hear this philosophy of sorts behind where they want to take Material Design, and again, how is it evolving for 2018 for the future? Because we'll see this for a good 3, 4, 5 years moving forward. So it'll be really interesting to see what Google is thinking internally about what they think comes next in design. As you said, there's probably going to be a reel. There's probably going to be some top designers. Maybe Matias Duarte is going to grace us with his presence again on stage to, again, explain all this. But in using it, as you asked me, what I think about it so far is that it works really well on the web. Like, I'm enjoying this new Gmail so much. Between the mix of new features and the new design, I think that it's really good for larger displays. And it's a shame that we're not seeing it yet, or that, yeah, we're not seeing it yet on like tablets, because Google doesn't have a real presence in tablets. But maybe we're seeing this on Chrome OS, and that's going to be a joy. But on phones, on like Google Tasks, which I've been trying to use more and more, well, in fact, I have transitioned my task workflow to it, but it's new. My memory is failing me from the first transition from hollow to material, but despite how shared the look is, in my opinion, it's stock for a reason I can't put my finger on just yet. There's a lot of white space. It's not very compact. It feels different from what I expect Android to be, which is a bit more efficient and a compact OS. But I digress on the Google Tasks thing. It's a bit fun on the IO app, which we've been using a lot to plan everything out. Like the white space, which I'm naturally opposed to because it's not dark mode, which that's a thing we're probably not seeing with Android P, unfortunately. But with all this white space, the times there are color a joy. So I hope that the official guidelines describe a better balance of that from what we're seeing right now. So on that front, I think it's still too early. That's a long way of saying it's too early to make a decision, because in comparison, these Material Design 2 apps are such a small fraction of the apps that most people and I'm using every single day.
Yeah, I wanted to address one thing. You know, a lot of people have been talking about how this looks like iOS. I think that in some ways it doesn't look as much like iOS as it just feels like the original idea or vision for Material Design is kind of being genericized a little bit. You know, like the original design or the original vision was very material. It was very paper, very drop shadowy, very. It was very physical. Distinct. It was physical. Right. And it was kind of a bold direction to take with design, right? And I think it's sometimes hard for other companies to take such a distinct kind of appearance and adopt it for their own apps. And so I think that part of this Material Design 2 thing, it feels a little bit like Google's kind of admitting, like, maybe that was a little too ambitious. We're just going to genericize a little bit so that maybe you guys will actually follow it. I think back on the original launches of Material Design and all the third-party Android apps that have come out since. And, you know, we've seen here and there some developers who are just really great at making apps that look like they could have been made by Google, that just like religiously follow the Material Design guidelines and look really, really great. Francisco Franco comes to mind and his apps. And, you know, hey Francisco, if you're listening by any chance, we love your apps. Big fan. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, the Francisco Francos of the Android development world are kind of the rarity. I guess maybe part of Material Design Material Design 2 is Google just saying, yeah, we know you guys aren't going to adopt these 3D flowing cards in all of your apps. We know that the Twitter app is not going to look like a papery, you know, mess like the original Material Design guidelines had. But maybe you can follow, you know, this very slightly watered down kind of more genericized version of Material Design. And so maybe in that sense, Material Design will be more successful.
I think you captured something very important in terms of the difference between the two. The original material design, again, you said paper and motion, and it was, there's a real, like, Google tried to make it skeuomorphic in a weird way that Apple got so much crap on. But with the original material design, it felt that you could replicate some of this stuff in real space. So, Google's original wallpapers for material were physical pieces of cardboard overlaid to make a sense of depth. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing with this MD2 feels so much more digital. I think that's what I haven't been able to capture. That I'm looking at Google Tasks right now, it's inherently digital. It doesn't try to do any skeuomorphism. It just tries to embrace that what you can do with digital, with technology.
Yeah. I think you're hitting the nail on the head. And it, to me, material design, the original vision for material design, you know, Matthias Duarte, he's a genius, and he's basically saved the visual and functional aspects of design on Android. So all praise to him. I'm not criticizing material design as a whole. But the original vision to me felt like, imagine, you know, like the skeuomorphism of, do you remember the Game Center app on iOS, you know, with the felt, you know, it was like probably the most extreme example of the skeuomorphism that Apple did. To me, material design felt like they were trying to take some of the ideas of skeuomorphism and standardize them. And I think they found out that, third party developers just didn't really want to play along. Can you imagine if Apple tried to standardize its skeuomorphism that it did in Game Center or in you know, some of its other apps, if they tried to standardize the look that they were going for with their skeuomorphism, it would have been a mess. And instead, Apple kind of said, you know, we got general guidelines for how these interfaces should look, broader guidelines, human interface guidelines, but we're not going to tell you that your apps should look like this same kind of skeuomorphism. And surprise, surprise, almost none of the apps on iOS at the time really followed that. I mean, there are definitely examples.
There were some.
I mean, if you think about Tweetbot, I mean, that was probably the most extreme example of following in Apple's footsteps on skeuomorphism. Because, you know, they created this amazing, I love that app. And I still to this day, I'm amazed by it. But they really went to that extreme of creating this really interactive, deep, really well-designed skeuomorphic interface that easily could have been an Apple app, in my opinion. And then they extended that metaphor to other robotic apps. But generally speaking, even before iOS 7, I don't know if that was the norm. And so I think Google kind of experienced kind of a similar thing where they had these developers here and there that were really, really doing material design. And then they had other developers that, you know, just kind of half did it and half did their own thing. And material design too kind of feels like to me, like they're kind of meeting developers where they are now while also kind of establishing some kind of uniformity and some kind of design guideline. So long story short, Material Design 2. We're really excited to see what Google does next week. What they don't do, maybe we're not sure. But I know for a fact that I think it looks great. I think all of the apps that Google's redesigned so far just look better than they did. So I mean, it's a win in my book. Next up, we have the Android TV dongle, the mysterious Android TV dongle that surfaced
a Google logo.
Yes, the mysterious Android TV dongle with a Google logo that surfaced by way of a basically FCC no-name file. Chinese manufacturing company that put it through the FCC. We don't have any really solid information on what it is or what it's going to be, but we do know a few things. We know some of the basic specs, which are this like
really not notable.
Not notable. Amlogic processor, 2 gigs of RAM, 8 gigs of storage. It doesn't seem... One thing is, it doesn't seem like a consumer, aimed product.
No way at all.
And the other evidence of that is that its design just does not look like consumer ready. And then the other thing we know is that it leaked a month before I.O. basically. It passed through the FCC a month before I.O. and then it got pulled, or yeah. It didn't get pulled, but they filed the confidentiality documents. Mm-hmm. So we know that whoever made this thing, Google, we think, actually had some kind of intention on keeping it, you know, behind closed doors or hidden until they were ready to talk about it. So to us, I think that signifies that it's probably a Google device. What do you think about this thing?
So just like thinking, it's definitely running Android TV. And honestly, in recent months, weeks, to put it generously, we haven't really seen too much Android TV development. We did not get an Android P on TV preview this year. And I think the last, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the last major thing to come to Android TV was Assistant. That was the last major news. So, but with that said, Android TV at this moment does not have any hardware. The Nexus player has gone past 3 years and it's no longer getting any updates. So if anything, we're days away from developer conference. I guess you could make the assumption that maybe this is some kind of developer-focused hardware, like Google has done in the past. There was this one of the reports, first publications to break this FCC firing, Ozdroid suggested an ADT1 successor, and I had to think about that because to even remember what ADT1 was, and that was the first Android TV development hardware ever. So maybe we're lining up for another just a developer-focused hardware here.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. The editor of Ozdroid actually, I think, was the first person to suggest that possibility. And that makes sense in a way, but at the same time, it seems kind of odd because it would mean that Google has to be, you know, taking another stab at Android TV, and yeah. Really haven't seen any evidence that they're doing that. You know, like you said, the last big thing we saw was Assistant coming to Android TV. Google announced a really big redesign for the Android TV interface at last year's I.O. And we've really seen like no progress on that front, have we?
It's more that we haven't seen any developers adopt it, because the new Android TV model that Google is suggesting is this home screen where third-party apps populate this. And I think one complaint that we've seen in recent months is that none of these developers are truly adopting this new home screen. And it's, if anything, it's been a failure, and we don't know what's happening there whatsoever. But
yeah, so I think on the Android TV dongle, if it's an ADT1 successor, I mean, I think that all the developers that are going to I.O. or you know, even us, are really glad to know that if it is an ADT1 successor indeed, then it will probably be the much beloved Google I.O. giveaway, you think?
But I think... So the one thing you said earlier, I think if they do this, they better have a reason to give out Android TV hardware. It's and egg problem, honestly.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I think the implication that this is an ADT1 successor really says more about what Google's potentially planning to announce at I.O. with Android TV. What's the status on Android TV sessions? Anything that
there
stuck
is
out to you?
Just a what's new in Android TV session, the standard.
Okay. Well, I mean, that at least means that they're not completely abandoning the platform. So that's good news, right?
Yeah.
We don't really know what's going to happen with Android TV at I.O. We really haven't seen much leak out in that realm. So all we really have is this dongle, which seems to be a real thing. And would suggest that Google is going to be taking Android TV seriously at I/O. But in terms of details of what's going to be announced, besides maybe an actual rollout of the design that we saw last year, or maybe, you know, Google announcing partnerships with some of its Android TV manufacturers to, you know, maybe the first device will be some NVIDIA device. I don't know. The possibilities are endless, but it looks like I/O 2018 Android TV is going to be a thing.
Yeah. So the next thing, the next platform is a bit of a minor one for consumers, Android Things. It's Google's IoT platform, Internet of Things. It's a small OS for smart displays, smart speakers, just like smart gadgets, basically, that developers can easily embed into and use, with Google handling the updates and that kind of stuff. It hit developer preview 8, the final developer preview, last week, or 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry. And we're probably going to see it announced at I/O, since you're in front of a lot of Android developers, and which is Android Things is designed to be easy for existing Android developers to use. So I think it's a good place to make it official. Also, for attendees, Google's doing a bit of a scavenger hunt where they're giving out Android Things dev kits. So again, I think it's another sign that's a natural place. And if it's launching at I/O, we're probably going to see smart displays, assistant smart displays, soon after. So that is one of the smaller Android-related announcements we're expecting for I/O.
Yeah, I think that it's one of those things on this list that is a for sure, in my opinion, because it seemed like with Developer Preview 8, which pushed console improvements and managing apps and permissions and a feature complete SDK, it seems like, they also announced no more breaking API changes. So it seems like it's very imminent, and it's been imminent for a few weeks now. And so the imminence seems to perfectly line up with Google I/O. And it also happens to be a very developer focused release. So it seems like it's definitely going to happen. Another thing, another category of Android that's probably on the minor side for most people is Android Auto, which we've seen sessions referencing Android Automotive, which is Google's, it's confusing, but the separate Android Auto that's more for, you know, built-in Android experience in cars. And then Android Auto is the one you're probably familiar with, which has an app for your phone that you can plug into your car through one of your, you know, media consoles in your car. The latter, the Android Auto, not Android Automotive, according to the Google I/O 2018 app for iOS, which is confusing because, yes, Android Auto doesn't work with iOS. This was just found in the I/O 2018 app for iOS. It mentioned some details and some sessions that weren't listed in the web or on the Android versions of the I/O 2018 app, one of which mentioned a, quote, brand new media experience coming to Android Auto at I/O. So the cat's out of the bag on that one.
Yeah. Android. It's, you installed Android Auto, right?
Yeah, I've used it a little bit. I, to be honest, we tend to use CarPlay because my wife is usually the one controlling the music, and she's a diehard iPhone user. So usually our Sony head unit is stuck in CarPlay mode. But yeah, on another car thing happening at I/O, according to the very same iOS app, is that Waymo is planning to show off its new Jaguar I-Pace, which it announced earlier this year. And some of its other vehicles, including the original Waymo car, forgot what that's
Firefly.
Called.
Firefly,
and then of course the minivans as well. So our Seth Weintraub from Electrek, and as we mentioned earlier, they're doing their podcast live right now as we speak. Seth will be at I/O with us, and so he's gonna be checking out all the Waymo stuff. Especially the Jaguar car. It's probably pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. So to round out the Android platforms, we have Wear OS, which it just had the big rename. It's just got that Google Assistant update. There is a what's new in Wear OS session. And hopefully, with that new name, we're finally going to get new serious features to back it up to make it a real competitor to the Apple Watch. So we haven't, like, we really have not heard anything about Wear OS proper besides the Assistant thing. So hopefully Google takes the time to remind us that it exists and that they care about it in a significant way.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's going to be any hardware. I mean, that's probably a long shot. But yeah, the platform itself, you know, as you mentioned, we just saw the rebrand, just saw these Google Assistant features this week. Google's probably going to tout these Assistant features as something new, and they're not really new because they announced them this week. But yeah, I mean, hopefully they can show us that they're not completely abandoning what used to be called Android Wear. Next up, kind of moving past the Android space, we have... considering Android probably won't even be really the star of the show, as it hasn't for the last couple of years. Google Photos, which is kind of one of Google's... It's got to be one of Google's most successful products in years. I mean, it's being used pretty ubiquitously by Android users.
And iOS users.
Yeah, I think a big reason for that is, you know, the unlimited free storage, which is just, you know, really attractive.
Table stakes.
Yeah, exactly. So Google Photos and I/O is almost a for certain. Well, actually, it is a for certain because we know that Google Photos is getting its first ever session on day two. So we're excited about that. Has potential implications. Could mean nothing. Could mean a lot. What could it mean? We're told by a tipster as of a while ago that Google's working on better photo editing and content creation in the app. We don't really have that many details on what that means. You can head over to my article rounding out what Google Photos might get at I/O to check out what we know about that. Secondly, an APK insight we did earlier this year, we enabled a favorites feature for favoriting photos and organizing them that way. Actually, Android Police first noticed this, or strings related to this feature, all the way back last summer. So it's been almost a year that this feature has been lingering in the app, and Google has not announced it yet. So if they are, it might make sense that it be one of many minor features that comes to Google Photos next week. And then alongside that, there's liking of shared albums. Again, you can check out the details over at 9to5Google. Another major thing, we're hearing that Google is planning to partner with some external companies for some kind of Google Photos product. So we don't really have details on that yet, but that's something that we think we're going to see. We're hoping to see. And kind of connected to that, we don't really have the details on that, as I mentioned, but that kind of leads to this final thing, which is the possibility that Google is going to somehow open up a developer platform for photos, which is also evidenced by that session on day two, right, Abner?
Yep, I'm a big this is my pet theory for Google I/O, that if you're going to talk about Google Photos and give it a session and office hours, it's a very good chance that you are opening up a developer platform, which is, again, fitting for I/O. So the idea is kind of brilliant, really. All your photos are in one place, and these third-party services, whatever they are, could hook into it in a way that doesn't require you to first download the photos and then from Google Photos and then put them in another app and edit them and have to save back. Imagine if all this could be simplified, if these other apps just pull from the cloud, and just that's how they edit photos, and it saves back, it syncs back. Again, this is just a theory based on the fact that there's a session, but it might combine with what you said about partnerships earlier.
Yeah, and it must be noted as well that kind of one of the one of the controversies lately has been, you know, third-party API access to personal information. So it'll be interesting if they do announce something. To me, it seems, I don't know, they've got to do it right if it's not going to be risky, because Facebook has come under fire for obviously kind of not patrolling API access to third-party apps. So it's a third-party app API access kind of seems like a touchy subject in general right now. So the timing of this might suggest that maybe Google's not going to do it this week, or maybe not going to do it at all. But it is an interesting method. Yeah, it could be very exactly. It could be very limited. And it could be, yeah, that's another thing. It could be limited to very specific, you know, handpicked partners that Google's working with. To me, that seems like the most obvious short-term announcement that we would see this week. An API for access would be a really big deal. So yeah, that pretty much rounds out Google Photos. We have heard, you know, bits and pieces of other little features and APK insights that we've done over the last several months. But as
it would
mentioned,
be a perfect time at I/O to announce everything.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like I/O makes sense for announcements in general. So there's all these lingering announcements that, you know, it's like, oh, well, Google hasn't announced that yet, so maybe it makes sense that they finally do it next week. So next topic is Chrome OS, which is an interesting one. Just yesterday, or was it today? I don't know. All my days are blurring together.
Yes, definitely.
It was yesterday. We found that Chrome OS Canary is beginning to test Linux app support ahead of Google I/O. I know someone in the YouTube chat here asked, why is that not a consumer-facing feature, Abner?
Because what are Linux apps, and why would you use a Linux app versus an Android app? And would Google want, if Google's idea of spurring pro apps is to have them be built on Linux, that is almost a slap to the face to Google Web, to like Google's whole thing about making everything in the web. Like with Chrome OS as is, they're pushing like web-based video editors. Again, it's not ideal, but the idea is for Google, the long idea for Google is that software that runs in the cloud will one day take over native. And yeah. Plus Android apps are getting pretty good. Like Adobe has their Adobe's apps are not up to par to their professional desktop clients, but at least the full suite is getting to Android and mobile in general.
Yeah, on other topics in Chrome OS, just kind of looking at the bigger picture, you know, Android apps on Chrome OS has been a thing that's becoming pretty mainstream, pretty important to the platform in the last couple of years. And then Chrome tablets, that was a spring announcement this year, with Google announcing its first partnered, tablet running Chrome OS. So maybe, yeah. Maybe in the sessions, they're going to touch on that and help, you know, kind of guide developers on best practices for building, Android apps to work with not just Android tablets and not just Chromebooks, but Chrome tablets specifically. I mean, maybe that will be a theme that we kind of see throughout the show. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the earliest Spring launch was purely education. It was strictly education in a way that's a bit odd. Like, we have tried to get this seemingly ideal Chrome OS tablet, but no dice yet. Hopefully, we can see some vague promises or announcements about consumer Chrome tablets, which, as you said, it could be the big push for Android tablets, for large screen Android tablets that we've been waiting for, because Chrome tablets, Chrome OS devices are big. They are big in the school. They are a hit with consumers. And as more and more of them get touchscreens and get better Android experiences, I think it's prime time for Google to finally do a meaningful push for tablet apps that could be maybe successful.
Another thing on Chrome OS is Assistant on more devices other than the Pixelbook. That could be a potential announcement for this week. And then also Material Design 2, which, as we mentioned earlier, is just kind of Google's bigger redesign of everything. Chrome OS is part of everything, so it would make sense that maybe Google shows off a new look for Chrome OS.
Yeah, if anything, it's probably going to be part of the reel, because if you remember last year, there was the original reel did show how material design could morph between the smallest of screens to the largest.
Yeah, totally. Before we dive into some of our kind of, you know, long shots or potential surprises that Google might have for us next week, I did want to talk a little bit about something that's been important in the last, you know, few weeks, is that is the bigger transition of what's going on with Google Play and all the Google Play apps, Google Play Music, Google Play Movies. I mentioned yesterday, it just seems like all of the Google Play apps are kind of winding down in front of our eyes. I mean, we have Google Play Music, which we're hearing long term is going to be replaced by YouTube Music. It doesn't seem likely that that's going to be something that Google talks about tomorrow, although it seems possible. I mean, at least possible. There's Google Play Movies, which it seems like in the wake of Play Music winding down would also wind down since it shares a backend with YouTube. But most recently, last night, a report came out that Google is shutting down Google Play Newsstand and merging all of its newsy offerings into a new Google News app, right?
Yes. So Google News is something that you wouldn't think is something that deserves prime time on stage attention at I/O. But according to a report last night, we're going to see a redesigned Google News that combines YouTube videos, something which is lacking so far, and Play Newsstand, specifically that more digital magazine style. Mm-hmm. The basic sell for developers, well, to be specific for publications, would be to simplify the way that Google's news products and offerings are served. So that's why they're doing it. But as you said, it speaks to more broadly to how the Play family of apps could be wound down.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting about this report is that it seems like, well, they said that Newsstand is shutting down next week, which that's a really interesting development. I mean, it makes sense if Google's launching this new Google News next week, then that makes sense because...
Or they just begin winding it down.
Yeah.
As you... Because there's these things.
I guess what I'm saying though is that the imminent shutdown of Newsstand, whether that's next week or next month, is it kind of supports this theory that the Play X brand as a whole seems to be falling apart and transitioning over to YouTube. Just last night, I was talking with some other people on Twitter, just comparing some Google Trends things, and it's just really interesting to look at, you know, the popularity of the Google Play Music trend. Or searches on Google versus Spotify or versus Apple Music, and then looking at YouTube, which is clearly one of the, and we've known this, but it's clearly one of the most popular and most, the strongest brands on the web, period. And so it seems like it makes sense that Google's going to use the leverage that it has with YouTube already to try and make another attempt to establish itself in these streaming services. You know, Spotify is a behemoth that is, you know, just went public, and it's hard to take on. It has a very, very strong foothold. I'm personally primarily a Spotify user, and I have been for 2 years. And so it'll be really interesting to see how, you know, these services do when they're under the YouTube brand. Because we do know that the YouTube brand is just, you know, such a strong and ubiquitous one in American households.
Yeah, so. I think YouTube has some growing pains it has to go through, in my opinion, because what people think of YouTube right now is like it's aggressively something you don't pay for. And if Google is moving Play Movies, which I somewhat disagree with you, I think it can be like some of the other Play apps are viable by themselves, Play Books being one. And I would suggest that Play Movies could also be its own thing, as that hub, its last major update made it into this hub for streaming services, so that you can easily find out where to watch something. So I think that play movies could be its own thing. But and in regards to YouTube, Google needs to make a very big push to get people to pay. And it's questionable whether by putting play movies into something like YouTube that it will just stop people even more from buying stuff. I guess that's my word about play movies. And like, I think there are strong brands in that play thing, but overall I have to agree with you on like things like play books. I mean, sorry, play music and play newsstand. There are Google has long had the strategy of two of everything. And over time, they're growing up and going to the idea that if there is a stronger service out in their company to run with that, and that it's better than just having a consistent thing, as long as you get the product to a higher achieving product.
Yep. I think, again, this is an IO podcast, so I don't know if we'll see any of this next week really formally announced. But it is really interesting to see how everything's changing. And it does sound like Google News is going to launch next week. So we're excited for that. We'll hopefully see that and learn more during the keynote. Now for, I guess, the fun part of the show. What do you think is the probably nots, but maybe Google will make us, surprise us. What are your top picks for those? Wow, I just set off my Google Home. I don't know if y'all heard that, nice. But
heard that. So okay, my personal wild card would be any augmented reality news that's wearable in nature, preferably Google Glass. Wink, wink. But yeah. I highly doubt that. Google Lens is as close as we're getting to augmented reality for a good few years, because the hardware is probably not there yet, unfortunately. But yeah, augmented reality would be like anything that could be exciting. And my other wild card would be a gaming service, that streaming service that we've heard about, that you've also heard about. But yeah, according to the rumors earlier this year, that this gaming service with this gaming hardware was supposed to be announced for holiday 2017. And there's probably a reason why it didn't launch. They're probably retooling everything, because gaming is bold and ambitious and it could fail spectacularly.
Yeah, for sure. My things are, I think that the assistant smart displays are going to be on display at I.O.
Oh,
I think.
Honestly. Because I think it could be available.
You think they might announce availability for some of them? I think they're definitely going to be on display. I think they're going to, we'll be able to get some more hands-on time with them. And I think that, this is just a hopeful Steven talking, but I'm hoping that we will maybe get one for free as the giveaway. I'm hoping the Lenovo one's my favorite, and I would love to fly home with one of those in my bag. What about you?
We all know we're getting our fifth Google Home, so there's no point in wishing for anything else. Honestly,
yeah,
that is the de facto. They went to a Google Home Mini RAS for the October event. Smart displays, like, that the developer audience needs to start developing actions that are fitting for a screen and for interaction. So I definitely think that's actually going to happen.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything else. Anyone else in the comments here on YouTube have any thoughts, anything we didn't touch on during the show? We've got about 30 people watching right now. Anything we didn't touch on that you think we will maybe see at I.O.? Someone asked, did we talk about the new Google VR headset that launched today? Well, the show is particularly about I.O. announcements. It's possible that Google will touch on its standalone VR. I think it announced that last year. That's a possibility that they could touch on this
honestly,
year.
Honestly, that was the most exciting hardware announcement last year was a vague, sketchy outline of the standalone Daydream headsets.
Yeah.
VR Oculus just had its F8 conference, which is supposed to pronounce faith, and that is really horrible. Oh gosh. There was that rumor that Apple is making a standalone headset in 2019 or 2020. I think we're still in the very early days of virtual reality as a serious thing. I'm still very curious what happens when that enters the consumer markets in a real significant way. But I think VR would be... VR is mostly for gaming, and to go back to why I want augmented reality to happen so badly is because I think we need to...
It has more real-world use cases.
Yeah, definitely. There's more real-world use cases. And so far, there are no hints. The Google development on wearables has been so mum, aggressively mum even.
I don't know about VR. I mean, you can't tell if it's been a success or a failure. I mean, Daydream, I love Daydream as a platform. It's really cool. I'm really glad that Google took the initiative to standardize kind of its approach to mobile-based virtual reality, and I guess now standalone headsets as well. I love the interface. I love, there's a decent number of good apps. I think all of Google's first-party apps in Daydream are great. I don't know if Daydream has really made an impact with consumers. I think that's really the question at the end of the day. I personally, my Daydream headset, I have two of them, and they've both been sitting in buckets in my closet for 2 years.
Buckets.
So I don't know if, maybe I'm the anomaly. I hear of people who use them in airplanes. I've never seen anyone use them in airplanes. I've heard of people use them for, I don't know. What do people use them for? It's not really an attractive or useful it's not really a captivating product for me. And I don't know if it really is for the average person. I mean, I know I let my wife try it on once and she was like, oh, that's really cool. And then, it went back.
That was me with cardboard. When Google originally announced cardboard, I was like fascinated that this was this mass market way to get good enough virtual reality. But now it's the fervor has died and it's a bit sad.
For me, the big thing is that it's just really uncomfortable to have a really bright phone screen 1 inch from your eyes. That's really what it comes down to for me. It makes me dizzy. It makes me sick. And it just hurts my eyes. I take the thing off after wearing it for 30 minutes. My eyes are dripping with tears because they just, it's like blinding me. So I'm not really sure on the VR front if Google's maybe going to update its vision for Daydream and for its standalone headsets. I'm sure they're going to have demos. They always do. They always have Daydream and cardboard.
But so far there are no major VR sessions, which it could be a red herring. But right now the only VR related session they've announced is for related to accessibility and virtual reality. So. Again, maybe there's more coming, but last year there was a VR keynote with Cray Bevore, and that was a really prime time thing that Google was pushing. Yeah. But this year, we're not there yet.
Well, on that note, I think we can pretty much wrap up the show if no one else has any other topics that maybe we forgot to touch on. What's up, Abner?
Just recapping this from the lovely chat, dark mode. Would love that so much, and this is, I guess, my chance of saying, Google, please add a dark mode to your things. all your UI is so bright.
Oh, fuchsia, we forgot to talk about fuchsia. Okay, we can hit on that one real quick. Fuchsia is, it got one name drop during, I think, the Android Fireside Chat last year.
Somebody asked him.
Yeah, not sure. I got one name dropped because someone asked him and they said the first rule of Fuchsia is to not talk about Fuchsia. And so I don't know. I don't think we'll see any official mention of Fuchsia. I think it's going to remain this background, mysterious Skunkworksy operating system project that they've been working on. Our Kyle Bradshaw has been doing a killer job every week, knocking out content, talking about the future of Fuchsia, what's going on with Fuchsia, you know, all of the latest developments. So you should definitely hang out, head over to 9to5google.com and check out his series. It's called Fuchsia Friday. It's really, really great. But one thing, he knows more about this than I do. And I think he actually has a post going up just this evening talking more about this in detail. But Flutter, which is kind of the programming language that Google's really pushing.
Design focused more.
Yeah.
Design framework for.
Right. That is going to be, you know, more.
Yeah, that's a big push. That's
a big deal.
That's a category of sessions at I.O. Flutter and design.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that has some kind of material design too.
Yeah, right. So it's like I think Flutter is the mobile app SDK, and then Dart is like the language that they're pushing for. It basically Dart apps will work on Android and iOS and Fuchsia. And so I think that Google is going to kind of, you know, we've talked about this and Kyle's talked about this, but Google's kind of pushing Fuchsia in the background in a weird way. And in that they're kind of pushing developers to make their apps with languages and frameworks that will be friendly to Fuchsia in the future. So long story short, I think that Fuchsia is going to be kind of, you know, and it's going to have a presence at I.O. for sure, but it's not going to officially have a presence. I don't think Fuchsia is really going to be mentioned, but in a way it's definitely going to be there. It's just kind of a ghost that's hanging out in the background.
It's the vague future for everything Google.
Yeah, it's still a mystery as to what Google's real plans are for it. I mean, it's not very clear yet that Fuchsia equals Android successor. It's not clear yet that Fuchsia is definitely something that Google's going to double down and invest in. Yes, we've seen some important Android developers move over to the Fuchsia team. Yes, it seems like so far Google is continually just investing and increasing its investment in Fuchsia, but I think I.O. for now is going to stay, you know, it's going to stay an Android and a Google Assistant and AI.
Yep.
All right. So I think that pretty much rounds it up. We're well over our hour, which I guess is fine because this week was our special I.O. predictions show.
And I have to say, I do love having this chat, so maybe we'll do it more.
Yeah, maybe we'll do this live thing again. Stay tuned for next week. We are actually planning to, pending Seth's approval, we will do another live show next, I think, Tuesday with Abner and me and Seth, similar format. We'll do a live show, I believe, and then we'll publish a podcast afterward. This podcast, you'll be able to find the audio version on iTunes and Apple Podcasts and Pocket Casts, which just got acquired, by the way. We don't really have time to talk about that. Google App Podcast, which is basically Google's new focus for podcasts as it sets to potentially likely retire Play Music, and Google Play. And you can also listen on our site at 9to5 Google if that's the way you'd like to go about that. We will probably publish this podcast in audio form either tonight or tomorrow morning. But thank you so much to everyone who's tuned in to our very first live broadcast of Alphabet Scoop. We really, really appreciate the support, even the only 30 of you that tuned in live, 40 of you, however many it is. We really, really appreciate it. And we are really excited for I.O. next week. We can't wait for the free stuff. I'm just kidding. we're really excited to see what Google has in store for us for the year.
72 hours of madness, and I enjoy every second of it.
72 hours of madness and eating lots of snacks in the press lounge.
So our health is all very poor. Like, oh gosh.
Yeah, it'll be a rough week, but it'll be a fun week. So yes. we're looking forward to it. So thanks for Abner. Thanks to Abner for joining me once again on Alphabet Scoop. And we will see you next week. And we probably won't have a show at the end of next week. So be sure to stay tuned for our I.O. 2018 official reactions / news show that's coming after the keynote. And we'll see you then.
Bye.